Week one of the NFL preseason got started last night. Tom Brady did start the game for the New England Patriots against Green Bay, going 1-for-4 in the game. The only other Patriots quarterback to attempt a pass was Jimmy Garoppolo. He went 20-for-30 for 159 yards and a pick. Aaron Rodgers, 11-for-19 and 117 yards last night. Washington took on Cleveland. Everyone talking about Johnny Manziel, and as someone who wasn't home, didn't get a chance to watch any of that game, the conversation about Manziel and his improvement seems blown way out of proportion after taking a brief glimpse of the game stats. Manziel went 7 of 11 for 42 yards, added a rushing touchdown in the game on 5 drives. But Browns starting quarterback Josh McCown went 5 for 5 for 33 yards and a touchdown in his first game in a Browns uniform.
That would seem to trump Johnny Football.
Yes, RG3 4 for 8 in the game. The big news on the Washington side, the dislocated ankle of Niles Paul, which will reportedly keep him out for the entire 2015 season. Among some of the other storylines coming out of last night, strong opening drives for Joe Flacco, including converting a 3rd-and-7 with his feet, a run of 17 yards on a 3rd-and-7 on the way to a touchdown. Ryan Tannehill led the Dolphins to an opening drive touchdown as well, while going 6-for-7, capped off the drive with a 2-yard touchdown toss to Jarvis Landry. Welcome back to the NFL, Danny Woodhead, whose one touch came on a draw on 3rd-and-goal that went for an 8-yard touchdown for San Diego. And welcome to the NFL, Amir Abdullah. The Lions rookie running back averaged almost 10 yards a carry with 7 carries for 67 yards, including ripping off a 45-yarder. He was then compared to Barry Sanders by Jets head coach Todd Bowles, and Matthew Stafford attempted just 2 passes for the Lions against the Jets, completing both, one of which was a 35-yard touchdown pass to Golden Tate. Notice what you never heard me say in that entire run was any final score from last night.
Who cares?
Because who cares?
Who cares? Not us. We do not. The Ravens look very good. First team offense look very good. And as of right now, barring something catastrophic happening in the preseason, probably my pick in the AFC to get to the Super Bowl this year. If you're getting to the stadium tonight, you know you're going to be hungry at some point. Maybe you have a few beverages when you're tailgating. You come inside and you're like, man, I really need something to level me out. Well, if you're near the South End Zone and the Seabest Cool Zone, stop by and say hello to Chef Tim from Levy Restaurants as he joins us here in studio. What's up, Chef Tim? How are you?
Doing great. How are you guys?
We're doing a little bit better than we were about 5 or 6 minutes ago when you brought us some nice beer cheeseburgers. Tell us what you've cooked up for us this morning.
Well, we're adding some exciting new stuff to the South End Zone. You know, we got the new stadium house being built down there by Dreamfinders.
Dreamfinders home, yep.
Yep. So just around the corner from that, we're adding the Budweiser Grill. So we're expanding our partnership with Budweiser, and we're incorporating Budweiser into food now, too. You can't just drink it, you can eat it, too.
So, perfect.
So the Budweiser Grill, right down the Seabest Cool Zone, we're making beer cheese burgers. So we actually combine Budweiser, sharp cheddar cheese, a little cream cheese, some zesty ranch in there, mix it all together, slap it on a half-pound burger on a buttery brioche roll with chips. Makes for a good snack right before the game.
Is this something, if somebody wanted to kind of follow your recipe in the future and tailgate with a beer cheeseburger, is this an easy-to-prepare tailgate item for the typical football goer?
Absolutely. Makes it easy. You just mix it all together, slap it on the burger, let it melt. You're good to go.
Of course, if you eat one of these, you're not going to want to prepare your own. You're going to want to go right to the source and get the good stuff here. Every season, the Jags have been adding new amenities to the game day experience.
Absolutely.
New food options. It's got to be exciting for a guy like yourself to have, you know, new toys to play with, so to speak.
Oh, absolutely. This current administration regime here, you know, not only all the changes on the field, but the changes in the stadium, it's exciting. I mean, last year we opened up the North Deck, which is now the FanDuel Deck. We opened up the new club tables in the touchdown clubs, which are now the U.S. Assure clubs. And this year we're adding even more club tables in front of the Bud Zone, so that's another amenity. And you'll also see the new chalets that were built on the Terrace Suite level in front of the Terrace Suite club. So there's new stuff every year.
Chef Tim is a man who can take care of his corporate sponsors, can he not? He does it very, very well. What would you say, from your experience here, is are the 2 or 3 most popular food items that you guys sell at the stadium?
Well, you know, we have a huge varied menu because we do all the premium food service around the building. We do all the luxury suites. We do the terrace suite. All the catering around, but it comes right down to chicken wings, burgers,
the old
chicken tenders. We have some fantastic hand-breaded chicken tenders with hand-cut French fries that we serve in the U.S. Ashore clubs in the Calford Chicken Shack. They're just amazing. So those are always one of the fan favorites. But you come up in the suites, we'll cook you shrimp tenderloin, too, if you want.
Nice. Nicely done. And you know what? The premium seating options obviously have been very popular with the Jags fans mm-hmm. over the last year plus as they've added some of these new things, and they sold them all out last year. I'm sure this is part of the reason why, and for me, it's probably the main reason why. I'm a fan of them. But check out tonight, if you go to the South End Zone, Seabest Cool Zone area, yep. you're going to check out these beer cheeseburgers. Chef Tim and the folks from Levy Restaurants are going to take great care of you. Any other message for the fans out there other than to party responsibly, obviously, anytime you come to the stadium?
Just go Jags.
Go Jags and enjoy that food. Chef Tim, we appreciate seeing you. Now, you're going to pop in with some different creations for us, I guess, prior to every home game this year, right?
Absolutely.
Does that mean you're going to make a trip to London as well? Or are we going to get you over there?
Hey, if we can work that out, I'm all
for it. Happy to take you. All right, I'll put you in my suitcase if I can squeeze you in there. Chef Tim, thanks for stopping by. Thanks for, I'm going to call it brunch. That way I don't feel like a pig for eating this giant burger for breakfast, if that's okay with you.
Absolutely.
Beautiful. Thank you for stopping by and seeing us today. And all of you guys, check it out if you get over tonight, if you're in the stadium in time, head over to the South End Zone, Seabest Cool Zone area, and check out one of these delicious beer cheese hamburgers, which I'm going to do my best to enjoy myself coming up on this break here moments from now. We're going to open it back up to you at 641-1010. If you'd like to get on board, what are you looking for out of the Jags tonight? Don't forget, question of the day. What are the three things on the field that you most want to see from the Jaguars' performance in their first preseason game? You can tweet us at MD_1010XL and at 1010XL Fat Tony. It's a Claude Nolan Cadillac Friday. Mike Dempsey, Fat Tony here with you. Jaguars today on 1010XL 92.5 FM. Come on, Tyler. Can't have a short break when I'm trying to eat. It's ridiculous, Tony. How's he do that to us like that?
I got into it pretty good, I'll tell you. For 2.5 minutes, I did pretty good.
I was waiting for you to talk. I had to finish chewing there. There you have it. Oh, delicious. Thanks to Chef Tim from Levy Restaurants bringing us a little brunch this morning. If you want to get on board, 641-1010 Jaguars today. Game day for the first time this year, albeit the preseason. But you get 9 of them in Everbank, and we'll take in the 2 that don't count as much as well.
Sure.
So, you know what? Enjoy it for the spectacle that it is, for the party atmosphere that it is, however you want to take it in.
Yeah.
Just be glad your Jags are back on the field.
Maybe a little crosstown traffic on the way to the stadium today.
Oh, stop it. There's going to be no traffic today. You know what's going to happen? Because you know what I did? I left my iPad at the house. I told you.
I know you did. I know you did.
And I'm debating. I'm like 60-40 that I need it for the pregame show. JP Shadrick has offered to set me up with a Microsoft Surface tablet.
I know how your head works. The OCD part of the Dempsey brain is going.
It's been nonstop since I got here this morning.
I don't doubt.
I truly thought at 8:15 this morning, can I make it back to the house and make it back by what time to join Tony for the show today? I thought, oh, that would be the easiest, the most elegant solution, wouldn't it be? But probably should be here for the start of Jaguars today on the first
probably
game day.
Probably should be.
I would think so.
Yeah.
Yes. So I'm probably going to break some land speed records, I think, heading down to South St. Augustine and back.
So you're going to drive for 2 hours, basically, to pick up an iPad.
Seems like it. At this point. It seems like that's where it's headed for me this
I bet
afternoon.
This is the last time this year you forget your iPad.
I bet you're right. You know, the funny thing of it is, I brought it every day for
I know
training camp. Right? I even brought it yesterday, Tony, and we weren't going to be outside. And I never bring it. And I had it yesterday. Oh, yeah, bring it every day. Plug it in last night. It'll be all charged up for tomorrow. All ready to go. Nope. Left it at the house.
Mm-hmm.
There goes 2 hours out of the old prep time for the pregame show. Good thing I'm well-versed in what's going on with the Jaguars at this point in time.
I think.
Yeah, I hope. 641-1010. Let's go to the phones and welcome Jim this morning on Jaguars Today. Hi, Jim. How are you?
Morning, guys. I did have a question for the resident geek. I'm assuming he has his tickets for Marvel Live. It's coming in March. Do you have that already, Tony?
I do not.
What is Marvel Live? What does that entail?
I guess it's like a stage show for all the Marvel comic characters.
Oh, it's a stage. Oh, okay. All right. That would make sense. I don't really have a whole lot of interest. That doesn't sound all that appealing to me.
I'm looking.
No, but I figured Tony did. I mean, he's a Marvel guy.
We're both Marvel geeks now, but I don't know. I don't think I'm going to be taking that one in, Tony. Maybe if I get some first.
But anyway, real quick, what I'm looking forward to, and I know to me, preseason, now I'm going to date myself. I'm a little older than you, Mike, but it's like this is Thanksgiving. You know, this is when all the Christmas advertising starts as a kid. And you sit there and go, oh, this is what I want for Christmas. And then when the season starts, then it's like Christmas. You get to see actually what you get. Because,
that's a good point.
You know, all this stuff you see, like I said, the scores mean nothing. And so you're watching this stuff, and you just hope that what you're going to get is really, really good. But the best part for preseason for me is I'm waiting for tonight, the post game, and Monday morning for you guys to listen to everybody about to commit suicide because things aren't as good as they think they are, or they're better than what they, you know what I mean? It's just that
Jim, whole... Jim, you seem like you've listened to a post game before. Yes, that's exactly what's going to happen tonight, unless the Jags go out and hang 30 in the first quarter, right? So
we're going to have to be up 21-0 after, you know, Bortles runs three series, scores three touchdowns. And then all of a sudden, if the Jags lose the game, nobody will remember the first three drives. They'll remember the remaining part of the game.
They don't know how to finish.
Last question. What's the over and under for phone calls after the game for somebody who's going to call up and want to say, why isn't Chad Henne the starter? That's what I'm waiting for.
I hope the over under is 0.5 and
we take
the under.
Yeah.
Seriously,
yeah,
it
should be a zero.
Fortunato. All right, guys, thank you, Jim. Appreciate it. The Fortunatos smell blood. All right. they smell dead animal carcass that is cooked on the grill of one Chef Tim from Levy Restaurants. And I truly was not going to eat all of the beer cheeseburgers, Tony. So it's probably a good thing that Joe and Linda are here to. I'll say this: it's nice to see Linda at least, right?
Yeah,
you know.
As far as the Fortunatos go,
Linda's a hell of a person, right? That's what I always say about the Fortunato duo. So good to be working with those guys again. 641-1010 is the number. A half dozen in the books from last night, Tony, and we got a bunch more action. Not everything going on tonight. Got some games Saturday, and of course you got Sunday. You got the Colts. The Eagles going at it, but let's take a look at some of the other games around the National Football League tonight, and at least from afar, what kind of storylines we'll be taking in. 7 o'clock kickoff on the NFL Network tonight, Tennessee and the Atlanta Falcons going at it. Obviously, you know, you have Marcus Mariota. Anytime you've got a highly drafted rookie quarterback, all eyes are going to be on him. He's gotten, for the most part, pretty glowing camp reports.
It'd be hysterical if he threw a pick on, like, his first pass.
Well, right, because then it'd be, now it's for real. Now it's a game. You want to see a guy that you're going to see for conceivably a long, long time, many, many, many years, if he has any kind of success, twice a season in this division. And, of course, the Atlanta Falcons seemingly perennially searching for any kind of pass rush. I don't know if that's going to show up in the first preseason game, but Vic Beasley, their first-round pick. Carolina, Buffalo tonight. Carolina's a pretty unsexy team, but they are the Jags' first opponent this year.
Yep.
So we'll take a peek, at what Cam Newton looks like. Buffalo's going to be interesting because it looks like the proverbial train wreck at the quarterback position. And
who knows what's happening
there? They have a lot of talent on that football team, Tony, but this is really the test of how important is the most important position in sports, right? Because Matt Castle at times has looked miserable during the offseason with Buffalo and yet still has his foot in the door as the presumptive starter at this point in time. Tyrod Taylor, not much experience. The biggest thing for him is maybe his mobility,
which doesn't
say a lot about his pocket passing.
They have one of the handful of the best defenses in the National Football League up there in Buffalo, and now they have a guy who's brilliant defensively coaching them in Rex Ryan. So I expect them to not be any worse on that side of the ball this year with Rex up there coaching those guys up. It's LeSean McCoy is up there in Buffalo now, and everything that's going on at the wide receiver position with those guys and the quarterback position. I mean, it's offensively, there's a lot of question marks with the Buffalo Bills. And after watching New England last night, I mean, certainly it didn't look like Jimmy Garoppolo is going to set the world on fire if he is the guy who gets handed the ball for the first month of the season. So opportunity. That door's opening up a little bit in the AFCs for the first time. Is Buffalo good enough offensively to step through it? I don't know.
We should not freak out about Garoppolo, by the way. Or, you know, an observer shouldn't, because he was very good in the preseason last year and statistically brilliant in the regular season in the little bit of mop-up duty that he did play. So the fact that he wasn't sharp at all last night in the first preseason game isn't the end of his season, but it does make you feel that much more confident.
Bring him on.
If that three games at least holds up. Come on, federal judge.
Bring this on.
All right, let's get back to the phones, and at 641-1010, we'll welcome Sonny to the program. Hi, Sonny, how are you?
Hey, I'm good. What's going on, fellas?
What's up, buddy?
I'm actually looking forward to taking my son, my four-year-old, to his first game tonight. My dad started taking me about 20 years ago, and tonight I'm actually taking him to his first one. So I'm like, you know, I've been excited since Monday, man. I'm like, I've been freaking out all week. So
now, how old were you when you went to your first game?
God, I was 20. I think I was 20 or 21.
So you didn't necessarily grow up. Did you grow up as a fan of another team, or did you grow up with the Jags were your squad the whole way?
Yeah. That's I never had a team, and then, you know, we finally got one, so.
There you go.
Yeah, it's pretty exciting, man. I've been waiting to actually take him, so this is
that's awesome. Kind of your kid is one of the rare second generation Jaguars, right?
Yeah,
that's pretty cool.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
All right. Well, that's awesome, man. Call us next week. Tell us how he liked it. I'm always, you know, I have a son myself, and I always enjoy watching the world through his eyes. So I think that's pretty sweet.
That's cool.
Taking
your
4-year old out there, man. I'm sure he'll be excited as heck. Thank you,
Sonny.
Right, have a blast, buddy. You got it. And that reminds, you know, Craig was our winner of the tickets yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
Had so many great entries. I mean, I really felt bad because we asked people, tell us why you should get the tickets. And there were like 40 good reasons why people should get tickets out there. And I only had a pair to give away, but gave them to a guy named Craig who's taken, I believe it was a 7-year-old kid, to his first Jags game as well with those tickets tonight. So that makes me happy.
That is awesome.
You know,
I love that stuff.
I can just imagine what it's like, you know, to, as much as you love football, to have your kid experience that. It's one thing to see it on TV, and then the spectacle of live sports is pretty amazing.
And then the sit down. For the rest of the game,
yes. Yes, you can have ice cream. Yes, you can have ice cream. That's my kid. When we've gone to sporting events, it's, Daddy, can I get some Dippin' Dots? You're not so worried about that. What's the down and distance here? Okay. Let's go back to the phone, 641-1010. Lisa is next up this morning on Jaguars Today. Good morning, Lisa.
Hey, how you doing?
Good. What's up?
My question is about preseason. I want your opinion on the pros and cons and because I think it's a greed situation for the owners, and it's detrimental to the vets because the injury rates are so high. And I just wanted your opinion on if you thought it was really worth it or not.
Well, if it's a choice between preseason or no preseason, then yes, preseason is worth it. There you can debate how much it's worth playing four games, and I think that's why you don't see the vets that she talks of playing practically at all in the fourth preseason game. Look, the superstars, Tony, there are guys, LaDainian Tomlinson would never see the field in the preseason. He might get three carries on one drive in game three, and that was it. And then they take him out, and you really didn't even need to see that much. So you'll see a quarter from starters tonight. You'll see about a half next week. And then you'll see going into the third quarter, and then they'll be done. And
essentially,
they play about a full game in the preseason.
You have four games of preseason football. The stars of your team are going to play about a game.
About a game's worth. And
with everything combined.
Trust me, coaches will tell you, and I understand coaches have their own point of view and their own agenda, but in putting together a football team, you can evaluate so-and-so versus so-and-so, but as they say, we don't know until the lights go on. Do you want to put Jason Myers on the 53-man roster without seeing him in some game-type situations and seeing if he can beat out Josh Scobie? Right? I mean, these are the kind of things that it's the closest you can come to replicating, and it's much more important, I think, for the back end of the roster. But you kidding me? With a team with a new offense coordinator, new system, second system for a second-year quarterback, all these young players, all these free agents and rookies that are expected and hoped to make an impact.
Sure.
You got to have some of it to get these guys. And I understand the injury risk, but I don't think it. Look, you can argue that paying full price in the preseason is a greed situation. Okay. But what do they say something's worth? What somebody's willing to pay for it, right?
Sure.
NFL teams, by and large, sell most of their tickets, and that includes marking up the preseason to full regular season rates.
Well, like the Dallas Cowboys last night, Tony Romo didn't play. You know,
right.
A guy like
is that worth it to you to
right.
pay a full freight for
Dez
that game?
Dez Bryant
well?
Didn't play. Well, if you're a Cowboys fan in San Diego, right, they come in the regular season once every 8 years to that place. They come in the preseason however often they're going to come in the preseason. You didn't get to see those guys, and even if you did, you were going to see them for a couple of series max. Look, I understand maybe you could shorten the preseason to two games, something like that, two or three games. On a yearly basis, but there is a purpose to preseason football. And while I don't think it's necessarily to get your starters ready for the NFL season, I think that's a very small part of it. For a Jaguars team going into tonight's game, look, we've talked about the punt return position all offseason long. Who's going to be the punt returner for this team? They've got three or four different guys that they brought in to take a look at them as a punt returner. You don't do that stuff live in practice. You don't want to put your own guys at risk in practice doing that kind of stuff. If you changed up the preseason, maybe you would, right? But you still want to see them against an opponent as much as you can. For those guys tonight, we've talked about Tandon Dawson, Brian Walters, and Corey Grant, those types of guys that are on the cusp of making this roster and maybe do or don't based on the fact of they have a return job or they don't. These four games is where they earn that. And they do it under the lights with the other guys wanting to kill them because they're trying to earn a job too. You have to put them in that kind of situation to evaluate those kind of positions. I still think it's long. I mean, four games is more than enough. By the time we get to the fourth preseason game, I don't even know how many decisions are honestly being made. I think coaches and teams generally know who's going to make their roster before we get to that point in the preseason.
I'm sure there's a guy or two on every roster that's still in flux, but for the most part, you could probably do without it and be okay.
I wonder how many times, though, you watch the fourth preseason game and go, I changed my mind on that spot.
But, Tony, if you had three preseason games, wouldn't it just change that now preseason game three is the one nobody cares about? Because it'd still be that one game. I think you'd play one where the starters play about a quarter and a half. Then you'd have the dress rehearsal where they go into the third quarter. So they'd end up playing about the same amount with the starters.
Probably.
You'd have less evaluation time for the backups. And then you'd have that final preseason game where you're that close to the season. Nobody wants to get anybody hurt. And I just think it would just change the dynamic. It would shift it that the meaningless fourth one becomes the meaningless third one. By the way, they used to play six preseason games. There were more. So from a greed standpoint, it's not like the NFL's hurting for money, but it used to be even more engrossing. You know, there were more, certainly longer training camps, two-a-day practices, six preseason games. Talking about getting guys beat up, I don't know how anybody survived
sure.
that.
Sure, and on the point of greed or the recognition the league gets, the Hall of Fame game on Sunday night is drawing the same kind of ratings that the NLCS and the NBA Conference Finals are drawing. That's the kind of interest people are watching.
People are starving for football.
Right. Whatever football is on, people are watching. So are they desperate to get to the regular season in the NFL if you're an owner? Or no, because people are watching the product whenever you put it on television. You know, there are people that are going to watch Tennessee tonight to see Marcus Mariota that don't give a flip about Tennessee or Atlanta. It just happens to be the NFL game that is on tonight. So that's the one that they're going to be watching outside, obviously, of whatever cities are playing preseason games this evening. People are dying to watch NFL football. They want it so badly. I understand why the NFL isn't changing anything when
right.
it comes to their preseason.
They don't need to. I understand fans' point of views. We're paying regular season prices. We're paying regular season prices on concessions.
It feels so long. By the time you get through the first couple weeks of preseason, you're like, oh, all
right. Right. We're ready for it to get going, but that's the deal. And you still watch, you still buy the tickets, or maybe you don't. That's your choice. You can opt not to, and maybe you feel that the NFL and the teams are trying to take advantage of you. That's your prerogative. But the NFL knows they've got plenty of people that feel like you're just talking about that. They will turn in a ridiculous overnight rating for the Hall of Fame game, which is the biggest joke of all the preseason games, because those teams are playing five.
Yeah.
So they're, you know, no Antonio Brown, no Ben Roethlisberger, no Le'Veon Bell. Nobody you want to see on the Pittsburgh Steelers on the field last week.
On a bad field in a ridiculous looking stadium. Like the whole thing. Like, and I will say this, NFL Network, they got the Tennessee Atlanta game you mentioned. They also are showing the Denver Seattle game live tonight. they're promoting. I know you don't have NFL Network. They're promoting it on their network.
I got it on my phone, baby.
As a Super Bowl 48 rematch. That's what all their promos for tonight's preseason game read. See the Super Bowl 48 rematch between Denver and Seattle. Stop it.
I just saw one story ranking the top 5 or 6 best and worst offensive lines in the National Football League. Both Seattle and Denver in the bottom 3 of offensive lines in the NFL.
Really?
According to this particular ranking, Denver is got a bunch of guys you've never heard of for the most part playing offensive line for them. And Seattle,
that'll work out well.
You know, you look at Russell Wilson escaping the pocket as many times. A lot of it's out of necessity. They traded their most reliable offensive lineman, Max Unger, to New Orleans in the Jimmy Graham deal. And we often overlook that. We see the flashy guys, the fantasy football impact guys that change teams, and you don't look at the O-lines as much. By the way, speaking of Pittsburgh, tonight's opponent, I mentioned Devin Gardner earlier. He was actually with the Steelers as a wide receiver. Knew I'd seen him on the transaction wire in the last week or so. He was put on the waived injured list on Tuesday to make room for Garrett Hartley, who they had to sign after Sean Sweezum tore up his knee on what was allegedly just a horrible field in Canton, Ohio for the Hall of Fame game, which they had planned to tear up and replace, but didn't make plans to do that until after the Hall of Fame game. So I'm sure Sean Sweezum's family not particularly happy with those folks up there. Coming back, we'll take a look at the question of the day by the Tom Bush Family Dealerships, asking you what 3 things will you be looking for most tonight on the field for the Jacksonville Jaguars, or off the field as far as that goes for you. So share your thoughts with us on Twitter at MD_1010XL, at 1010XL Fat Tony. And if we have time, we'll get a few more calls in at 641-1010. We'll continue on a Claude Nolan Cadillac Friday. Mike Dempsey, Fat Tony here with you. Jaguars today on 1010XL 92.5 FM. All right, down the home stretch we come. Jaguars game day. Jaguars today.
Yes, it is.
On a game day. Pre-game this afternoon at 4:30. I'm told, because Frank Frangie, Rick Ballew, Brent Martineau, they've all got game day responsibilities, we're going to get Lauren Brooks and David Lamb from 3 to 4:30 today?
I believe that's the plan.
That is like an old issue of Marvel Team-Up. Spider-Man and Nova get together, Tony. Mm. Or maybe Marvel 2-in-1, starring The Thing and the Yancey Street Gang. I'm going. See, I'm a little disappointed you got called the Marvel geek in the room, to be quite honest with you.
We are Marvel geeks.
Thank you. Thank you. Today, the Tom Bush Family Dealerships fan feedback question of the day. What 3 things are you looking forward to most tonight, or what are you most looking for? I got this one in the Boston's Restaurant and Sports Bar text line. 1, doing what they want on offense, that's the Jags, run first, set up the pass, and move the ball. 2, starting secondary, shut down receivers in the first half, okay? And 3, I'm also hoping that my alcohol tolerance isn't as low as I think it might be. # it's preseason for all of us. Here's a guy who's thinking across the board.
He is. Right,
a little offense, a little defense, a little bit about me.
By the way, whatever the tolerance level is, pace yourself, bro.
Yeah.
Like, even if you don't think it's at the level you think it'll be, you know, October, it's all right. Like
it's
you said,
hot.
It's preseason for all of us.
Right.
We don't need to get out of control.
Passing out by that pond over there.
That's right.
I don't know what that pond, what is that pond for?
It's got water in it. That's
it does have water in it, Tony.
I have no
Nothing
idea.
Nothing getting by you today.
Nope.
What happened on the Twitters?
Here's what we got. Response to the fan feedback spotlight today. Nick said, punt returner, young pass rushers, and second team linebackers from Jimbo, pass protection, Bortles mechanics, and the defensive ends from Chris. Number 1, first team touchdown on the first drive. Number 2, at least one interception. And number 3, a win. # make the national media feel dumb from Jason. 1, does Blake have time? 2, do running backs have holes? 3, is Rashad Green a wasted pick? Or can he earn the 5th or 6th wide receiver spot from Demetrius? Number 1, Blake's decision-making / accuracy. Number 2, Luke Jokel's consistency. And number 3, Aaron Colvin on an island at cornerback. From Paolo, whether Blake looks comfortable with the offense, how Nick Marshall and D-Rob do today. I am going to be locked in whenever Marshall is on the field. From Eric, just being back at home, the offensive line battles and safety play, but mostly just being able to be there. From Nick, improved line play, solid run game, and two Bortles touchdowns. Who knows if he plays long enough to get two if he gets one. From Clay, I want to see Blake Bortles looking like Jesus on water and everyone else looking like his apostles. From Christoph, number one, wide receiver, especially Ben and Sterling. Number two, safety play. And number three, the Leo's pass rush ability. And from Black Dog Express, number one, how much Luke helps B2 up off his back. Number two, want to see TJ in open field. Won't be able to see that because he's not playing. And number three, Telvin, go nuts.
All right, we'll take all that with the exception. I don't know if you saw Isaiah's. He's looking for TJ Yeldon, see what he's going to see out of him tonight. We're not going to get that tonight. On Facebook, I don't know if you realize Matt Ryan was a fan of the show, but Matthew Ryan on Facebook said he wants to see how the new Jackson DeVille will do. How does he make his grand entrance tonight? Stu Neal backed that up. He said, I agree with Matthew Ryan. What's in store from Jackson part duh? And please beat the Steelers. I hate them. Okay, it doesn't matter if it's preseason or not.
Preseason,
nobody
guys.
Likes you, Pittsburgh.
I get it. I get. There's fans up there who want to see him win this game.
I'd like to say.
I don't care what the final score is.
I don't either. But you know, why not then have one more point than the other guy? I'd rather win than lose, but it's not going to impact my mood or my prediction of what this team's going to do. Unless Tony, it's one thing you could win it 37-35. And you're trailing 21-0 at the half. That doesn't bode well.
Then you lost 21-0.
You can lose it by whatever score, but you're up 17-3 when the starters go out, and then you're feeling great about
yourself.
Yeah,
then we won 17-3.
Then we won 17-3. Exactly.
That's how I look at it.
Very well played, Tony. A few more on Facebook. Josh Wiggins said he's looking forward to one whole hour of David Lamb this afternoon. Hashtag bring him out of retirement. You're going to get 90 minutes of Lamb and Lauren Brooks this afternoon. Josh Richburg said improvement from the O-line he's looking for, pass rush, and getting in the end zone. Give us something. Hashtag Jaguars today. Michael Batten, how well Blake and Julius Thomas connect tonight. Dustin Daniel Cowgill, number one win, number two win, and number three just win, please. I don't care if it's preseason. Well, I would disagree with that.
Okay.
What if they win because Stephen Morris comes in and throws four fourth quarter touchdowns tonight? Oh, controversy brewing. And, you know, the number one thing I don't want to hear tonight is what that caller suggested earlier, that anyone hints that there's any plausible way that there is any quarterback controversy on this team, no matter how Blake plays tonight. Great, poorly, anything in between. Obviously, he plays great. Nobody's going to be complaining.
Blake's your quarterback. Look, and we interact with enough fans to know that there's a group of fans out there who weren't happy about the pick when they made it of Blake Bortles, who aren't happy about it now going into year two.
That hope for some self-fulfilling prophecy.
Right.
So some of them taking it to the point that they look for every misstep, I think, to point out, see, I was right.
Yep.
You know what? You may turn out to be right. Why are you hoping that you are, though?
Right.
If you're truly a Jaguar fan, why don't you say, well, you know, wasn't the pick I would have made. But let's have him prove me wrong.
I hope he rocks. That would be what I would be if I was that fan. I don't necessarily agree with this pick, but I hope he's really, really good. But we had a couple people tweet us earlier this week talking about how Bortles is never going to get it. He just doesn't see the field the right way. We should have gotten Mariota or Winston. I've seen it this week. You know, it's not going away for some part of the fan base here in Jacksonville. And it almost feels like there's a part of the fan base that's never going to be content, right?
Anything.
Right. They can't win enough. Like, they're just happy being sad. Like, they're those types of people, just happy to be sad every week about their football team.
Not going
to
do it.
I'm not happy to be sad. And, look, I've told you before, Mike, I think Blake's going to be good. I think Blake's going to be a good quarterback in this league. I think Allen Robinson's going to be a really good wide receiver in this league. And I think Julius Thomas is already an established, really good playmaker in this league. So I'm not worried about those three guys. If I see nothing out of those three guys tonight, fine. I'm confident in what they're going to be.
What if you see nothing for the next 3 weeks?
I'm confident in those guys, right? And I feel like they're going to be fine. It's the things around them that I'm really curious about going into this game tonight, which is why I'll be more locked in on the offensive line than I will be necessarily Blake for this game and probably throughout the preseason because of where I feel like Blake is going to get. I'm not sure that the offensive line is good enough to get him to the level that we want to see him at here in Jacksonville.
Well, I will disagree with that simply because until you have the quarterback establish himself as what you want him to be, you know, he's coming off a season where he had 11 touchdowns and 17 picks. I go back to this conversation we had with the guys on XL Primetime about Drew Brees, right? And Joe Carr goes, well, this is the influence of fantasy football. You look at the numbers, you don't look at how he played. Tell me what you would give to have the allegedly horrible season that Drew Brees had last year
of
4,900 yards, 33 touchdowns against 17 picks.
No doubt.
And he hates the fact that he threw 17 picks. Here, if, you know, nobody is killing Blake over 11 touchdowns, 17 picks. Obviously, he's a rookie. There are so many reasons to adjust. Drew Brees has been in the league as an established Pro Bowler. But my goodness, if he ever has a year that good, the pick was worth it with the third overall selection.
I agree.
Pray that he gets anywhere within the ballpark of the bad season that Drew Brees had last year.
Yeah, and it was a quote-unquote bad season for Drew Brees. And, look, I don't expect Blake Bortles to be that now. Like, I don't expect him to have those kind of numbers in 2015. I do expect him to eventually be that type of guy. I really do. I think he is going to be a high 20s, low 30s type touchdown guy at some point in his career. That's the level of confidence I have in Blake Bortles. Hopefully it pays off that way.
By the way, Duval Doom said the pond is for peeing when you can't hold it. I will neither confirm nor deny that, and that is not the official point of view of Jaguars Today, although Doom is an official Jaguars Today co-host. He's on the list. So
he is.
He has some cachet.
He did not get a burger today, though.
He did not, because Fortunato ate it. All right, we had one saved for Linda and Duval Doom, and Joe came in and took Doom's. What are you going to do? That's just the way it goes sometimes. All right, XL Primetime coming up in moments. Thanks to Chef Tim from Levy Restaurants for feeding us this morning. We appreciate that. Thanks to all of you out there for being so supportive of this program, and we hope you're as excited to see your Jags on the field as we are tonight. Win, lose, or draw, let's just see some quality play out of the first team offense, defense, and special teams tonight.
No doubt.
Get us a little bit excited about
first look at punt return, really.
First look at a lot of things. So, you know, let's have some positives to dwell on, and let's, you know, have some improvement from week to week from the things that they're not so great on tonight. We will see you out there. Stop by and say hello. JP and I will be outside of just inside Gate 1 at 4:30 with the Publix tailgate show and countdown to kickoff and all these wonderful things coming your way. Tonight you'll get the full treatment on 1010XL all throughout the day. XL Primetime coming up next. You have Lauren and Lamb from 3 until 4:30 this afternoon before the Jaguar broadcast kicks off. And we go deep into the night. We'll have the game for you here. Frank Frangie in the booth, Rick Blue on the sidelines, Tony Baselli, Jeff Loggeman on color tonight, and 2 hours of postgame taking your phone calls. Freddie T will be along, and a cast of many, many others. So stick around. Keep it locked in. Where else would you? But 1010XL all day long for Fat Tony, for Linda Fortunato, who I like, out of the Fortunato clan, and for Tyler Devitt. I'm Mike Dempsey signing off. Thanks to Claude Nolan Cadillac, our Friday sponsor here on Jaguars Today. Don't forget the Claude Nolan Edge. Always going to give it to you with no dealer fees, no finance markup. Save you thousands. Check out the great deals they've got going on right now by going to ClaudeNolan.com or just stop in and say hello. 4700 Southside Boulevard. Tell them Mike Dempsey sent you. They're going to take great care of you. 642-5111, the number for Claude Nolan Cadillac. Start to build your lasting relationship today by logging on to ClaudeNolan.com. That does it for us on Jaguars Today. We'll see you at the game. XL Primetime next on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
Now, Duval, give me two claps and a Ric Flair.
Woo! Let's go, Jaguars.